Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
What happens when Batman is forced to retire? We're going to be asking this question and a lot more in today's episode of Systematic Ecology. We are the priests of the geeks. I'm your host, Christian Ashley. Today, joined by two wonderful vigilantes, one of whom doesn't want to be a vigilante. We've talked about that before. I'm going to make her one because she's my friend. Pang, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm in the middle of not doing things right now except sending out resumes. So this is a nice distraction from all that mess. But it's not just us. We had to add a third team, the former trio here. Evan Garcia, how's it going, Evan?
What's up? Doing well. Glad to be here. Talk some Terry McGinnis. Good stuff.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, because we're talking some Batman Beyond today. But before we head that direction, guys, what have you been geeking out on?
So I just got done watching. I thought I was going to laugh at it because it looked stupid. But of course, I ended up like loving it and binging it.
Nice.
Campfire Cooking in Another World, My Absurd Skill. It's so funny.
It's pretty
chill. I loved
it.
Cool.
It was so good. Yes. I was like, I need something stupid to put on. And I like ended up actually sitting and watching it. So it was fun.
Okay. Evan.
I have been watching old videos of home video footage of the old Disney electrical parades, because they just announced a new one for Magic Kingdom, and it's been like 20 years since there's been one. So I went down that rabbit hole, and it's really weird to get your Disney history from someone on YouTube that's 15 years younger than you are. Really makes you feel old.
Yeah. Well, they know how to conduct those. That's a well-oiled machine. It's like they get everything set up and people on the sides where they're supposed to be in like no time at all. It's like, and those are always fun to watch. Me, I have nothing like specific I'm geeking out on other than the fact that I'm organizing all of my books. And I've spent, when I'm not sending out resumes or surfing the internet, I'm being productive, and I have a lot, guys. So I am actually enjoying cataloging and making sure, okay, I don't have duplicates of this one. I have this one, but not that one. And I like organizing things like that. Everything in my room is a mess, but the books are well organized. So there's that.
Love it.
All right. So as mentioned earlier, we are going to be discussing Batman Beyond, part of the DCAU, DC Animated Universe. This is, of course, a spinoff of Batman, the animated series, taking place hundreds of years, about, what is it, 50 years in the future, if I remember correctly?
I think so, yeah. So
before I go any further, guys, how would you describe, what is Batman Beyond, someone who'd never seen the show?
Batman retired, pretty much. He got old, and he needed someone to replace him. But now we have more technology for the suit.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. That's what I remember.
If I'm talking to a Star Wars fan, it would be like, is episode 7, but done right?
Fair.
If you know what I mean.
Very fair. Yes. Yeah. So essentially, like was brought up before, Batman is just getting old. And in the first episode, we have him in his late 50s, early 60s, thereabouts, maybe even older than that. It's hard to tell. I'm sure someone who actually knows timelines better could say when, but a thug kind of gets to drop on him and Batman's about to be killed. So he brings out a gun that he takes from one of the people he was beating up earlier and threatens to shoot the guy. And that stops it, the conflict, but it sickens him so much because this whole shtick is never using a gun because that's what took the life of his parents. So he realizes he's too old to do this. If he has to rely on a gun, he's no good anymore. So he retires. So we flash forward several more decades and Gotham has, as it always been, it ends up more corrupt than it was with Batman gone, with the, out there being a vigilante, you know, making sure people were doing things right. So the police have gotten corrupt in certain ways that they weren't before. Someone has taken over Wayne Enterprises and now is using it to sell weapons and cause destruction across not only the city, but other countries. And we have Terry McGinnis here, who is our everyday teen of the time, who is having difficulty with his parents. They're going through a divorce right now. They're going through a divorce and he's flip-flopping between the two parents. He's got a younger brother. He's not doing that well in school because of things going on. He's got a girlfriend that poor girl suffers through a lot series with a boyfriend who could have been a lot better with communication. To be fair, a lot of it doesn't need to be said, but some could be said. And he ends up at Wayne Manor after being attacked by the Joker's gang, who has been inspired by the original Joker. No one knows where he's at anymore. And turns out it's Bruce Wayne's house. He comes, beats up some fools, even in his old age. And through that process, Terry stumbles upon the Batcave, learns what it is. His father is murdered. He takes the bat suit away and becomes Batman. He and Bruce have their difficulties, but they come together. And the entire series is him becoming Batman beyond the original Batman, this new Batman for a new Gotham. So, guys, what was our introduction to the show?
I just remember watching it on Channel 25 WB. In middle school, high school. I feel like I would have watched
it. 1999, so whatever that was.
I was seven.
There you go.
So maybe, yeah, so it has to have been
reruns. Elementary middle. Probably reruns.
Then. Yeah, probably solid middle school. But yeah, I enjoyed watching it. That's the only Batman I watched, probably because I thought the character was cute, more than likely. It tracks for me, honestly.
Bruce Wayne didn't do it for you?
No, nah. I need the angsty teens, you know what I mean? Not now. Now I would get arrested. But back then, as an angsty preteen, I wanted to watch an angsty teen.
Black hair, dark, tall, brooding.
Mysterious.
You know? Oh, of course. A little bit of an edge to him. That's what Pang needed at the time.
And then, it sounds crazy, but I rooted for his relationship. I liked it whenever he did right by her. I was cheering for her.
All right. Evan.
For me, I just remember watching this show. Like, I'd have to go back and see what year it came out because I was confused. I thought it was smaller, but that was already in my teens when I saw this. But I remember liking this more than the animated series, and because of the Terry, because of the high schoolness of it all. So I remember there were some beats and some episodes that I remember coming home from school and watching them. Some of the villains were good, and but this was I was on my way out of cartoons and stuff a little bit because I was in my middle teens probably. So I do remember thinking that the similarities to the animated series, but the way they tweaked it for the future, it's kind of cool. I thought the whole production design of it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Me, I was nine when it came out. So still in that, I'm all about superhero cartoons. I mean, it never really ended, but I was like really into them then. So I had watched everything that had come out for Batman, everything that had come out for Superman, of course, Spider-Man, X-Men, so on and so forth. All those superhero cartoons, love them. Then Batman Beyond comes out, and it's like, he's not a character. He doesn't exist. I knew a little bit about comics. And so this is a whole new character. It's like, oh, what are they doing? And it was so cool in this futuristic setting. He's got a bat suit that's familiar, but it's different enough to where he can be his own kind of guy. He's got a different kind of gadgets. The batarangs look different. The villains are different. But there's still plenty of no Batman for me to hang in here. And I love this show. It's one of my favorites of all time. So I'm actually kind of curious to see how I'm going to rate it later on down when we do that. But I really love this show.
It is a good show. It is a good show. Yeah. From the memes I see online, there's been a lasting legacy of the show. So there's plenty of memes about it. So.
Was it that one Derek Powers line? Yeah, I think it's Derek Powers. Do you have the slightest idea how little that narrows that down? Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, there are lots of people raised on the show, and now they're grown ups that are making memes mm-hmm. about it. Yeah, mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
But so we talked of how this is connected to the DCAU, but like, how does it factor into the DCAU as a whole? Is this actually the future of that? Is it an alternate timeline? Have at it.
Oh, that I don't know about that.
I never really paid attention to timeline or DC when I was that age. But I mean, my educated guess, I feel like it's kind of in the timeline, or is correct us, Christian, or educate us.
This is the timeline following the DCAU. So this is 50 plus years after the events of what would eventually become Justice League Unlimited, because that hadn't come out yet. And it's leading up to all that. And that's why there'll be an episode in that cartoon where they go to the future. This is their future. They'll see an older Batman, they'll see an older Static, and so on and so forth. So this is where things are going. They got a lot of continuation here. We've got like the Joker gang that shows up. We've got Slapper, I think, is the drug that they use here. That's based off of the venom from Bane.
Bane.
See Ra's al Ghul later on surviving. And then we'll have what was the format for what would become the Justice League, with the Justice League showing up with Superman and Big Barda and a couple futuristic, like a Green Lantern, Aquaman's daughter, and so on and so forth. And that's one of the inspirations they took to eventually make that series because of this. So yes, if you're keeping track, this is the future of the DCAU.
I am just now, I know there was a villain that got a spinoff show, didn't he?
Well, there was a runaway robot from the military. Zeta,
yeah.
Here at Systematic Ecology, we believe in a few things. We believe that there is freedom in Christ to like what you like. We believe that Christian nationalism is a heresy. And probably most important that I'm going to talk about today, at least, is that we believe the best place to spend your extra cash is on the Systematic Ecology merch store. That's right. This is a shameless shill for our own products. We go through Creator Spring, and we have a few great products on there. Me personally, I'm a big like black shirt kind of guy, you know, muted colors. But there's nothing better to like throw a little some extra on there with like a black baseball cap, the dad hat with the Systematic Ecology logo on it. That's a classic. I just really think if you've got a couple, you know, 30 extra dollars, that's for us.
The Zeta Project
Show. That just came back and flooded my memory. Yes, I remember that now. Sorry.
No. It's all good. It all ties together.
Yeah, that's cool.
So with that in mind, we've established a show. Let's talk about the actual characters inside of it. Do we have a favorite character in the show?
Angsty Hot Teen.
He has a name.
Terry.
Back up.
What was his name?
Terry McGinnis.
Was I right? It was Terry McGinnis?
Terry McGinnis.
Okay. Yeah. I still like, I even remembered his name. That's impressive for me.
Yeah. I don't remember that many characters. I remember them visually. I remember Mr. Powers and what he turned into. I remember Zeta Project. I remember Bane.
The butler was still there. Love him.
Was he?
No, he's dead. Alfred's dead.
He wasn't in there? Was it not another Alfred then?
Alfred, no.
There was another.
Bruce kind of became Alfred.
Really? I don't remember that. I'm going to Google it right now. Even though you're right, I'm still going to Google it.
All old men look alike to Pang. You know, she doesn't discriminate.
It's the jawlines.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember old characters.
Yeah, I remember solid choices.
Terry's a good one though, because he brings the Spider-Man-ness of it.
There was some heavy Spider-Man influences that came here, obviously, you know, from him just being a character, but from the animated show, it was kind of their take a little bit on Spider-Man 2099, which Marvel was going to do the same thing. They made Spider-Man Unlimited instead, which that's its own separate thing, because they were trying to copy. They were copying Spider-Man with this. They wanted to copy what they were doing with Batman Beyond. So they made Unlimited. So it's just kind of its own thing. It's real funny, actually, how the show came into being. Do you guys know why this exists at all?
No, but I give them props for not calling him Batman 2000, because everyone else was calling things 2000 back then.
Okay. But tell us. So this airs a little after, if I remember correctly, Batman, then the new Batman Adventures or whichever one it is, that is still the same thing. It just called it by a different name. And I think Superman had ended at this time. Sort of the executives are like, we need a new Batman show. And here's what we want you to do. We want you to put Batman in high school. We want all his villains to be in high school with them. So if you look on the internet, there is concept art of Batman, the Joker, Harley Quinn.
Really?
A couple other of his villains in high school. And they were like, guys, this is one of the dumbest things we've ever heard. What if we kept the idea of Batman in high school, but we didn't make it stupid? And we have a new man, a new teenager becoming Batman who is in high school. So you can have high school hijinks and all the drama that comes with that. But you don't have to put Bruce Wayne, oh, no, the Joker is my lab partner or whatever, you know. Which would dilute a lot of the characters. So that's how this show came into being.
So they needed Spider-Man, but Batman, and there were some changes.
Yes.
Interesting. I love it. And the whole whole aesthetic of the intro, so it's so good.
Oh, so gosh. Good. Yeah, I have it on my playlist, and every now and then it comes up to say, oh,
feel there a little were 3D versions of them too. Of Bruce and of Terry. Yeah.
But I realized I didn't actually answer the question I sent out. In my answer for one of my favorite characters, I don't know if she would be the favorite, but I put her up there. It's Ten from the Royal Flush Gang, who kind of becomes Terry's Catwoman in the show. I don't want them to end up together. I still prefer him with Dana, but I think they provided a nice contrast to what Bruce and Selina would be in the, you know, 50 years earlier. And they even have a nice bonding moment later on where Terry is like really bummed because she's still a criminal and she's gotten away and he's still feeling, you know, pangings of love for her. And he says, yeah, let me tell you about a woman named Selina Kyle. And it was a good way to humanize the both of them because, you know, Bruce isn't exactly the most cuddly guy in the world. So, you know, as a result of Terry, you know, having feelings for her and her rejecting her family, this created the scenario where they could get closer together. Terry and Bruce, but also her like becoming her own woman, not really becoming a hero, but rejecting the Royal Flush Gang because they're a very toxic family and deciding, no, I don't want to be part of that anymore. So I appreciated what they did with 10. Melanie Walker being her actual name.
Okay, you saw me like Googling it, right? I was like, who? I don't remember. Okay, I remember her now.
Yeah, I heard you Googling.
Yeah, I was like, who the frick is this lady trying to be a homewrecker?
Pang was hacking into the internet, all of them, like, at the same time. Who, just to figure out, who is this hussy?
Who is this?
How dare she wreck my lunch repairing?
Gosh, it's just like Kiki Ho all over again. That's Kiki.
All right. So those are favorite characters. Yeah. How about episodes? Do you have any that you guys remember? It's like, that's mine. It's like, I could watch that anytime.
I liked any episodes where he was in high school, but once again, middle school, preteen girl. So I remember like him trying to like get back in time for like a date or like back in time to like for a dance or back in time, like just trying to, I enjoyed any scene of him like juggling both. Because I guess it felt more realistic versus like, oh, look, it's a super person on a planet doing these impossible things. So it kind of like, as you were saying earlier, it just kind of makes everything more human, and it was like, oh, maybe this could happen one day, like in real life.
That's what a lot of where the Spider-Man influence came, is that they were taking like the early Lee Ditko days of him being a superhero, also like, oh no, this girl likes me, but this girl likes me, and I promised I'd go here for a date, but the Green Goblin just attacked and I gotta go fight him, and now I look like I stood her up. And that would happen to Terry and Dana all the time. It's like, it's not even just one episode. Like, she put up with a lot, and she was a very understanding woman. And I am very glad that it is heavily implied at the end of Justice League, when they flash forward, that he's going to actually, you know, tell her the truth and ask her to marry him, because they've earned it. Mm-hmm. Evan, how about you?
I don't remember a specific episode, but I remember, was Mr. Freeze in this too?
Yes.
I remember some arc or something episode like that. And I remember being very,
trying to remember which one.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was something that I vividly remembered. Because when I was making the slides for this, he came up and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I want to say it was the second season that he shows up.
Was that Freeze?
Because they were deliberately not trying to put two. Yes, on the right.
Yeah,
okay. They were deliberately trying not to use all of Batman's villains. They were trying to create new ones for Terry. Mm. So they weren't just like legacy villains or the originals there all the time. And Freeze, what they did with him.
Okay.
It's like, oh.
Okay. I need to go back and check that out.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Because they built up the hope. It's like, it's been, you know, 50 years or whatever. We can make you a new body. You don't have to live like this anymore. Yeah, your wife is gone. There's nothing that can be done for her, but there's hope for you. But then he gets betrayed again. And it comes to the point where he becomes a villain once more. Hmm. But he and Terry kind of have this relationship, new Batman, old villain, where Freeze kind of sacrifices himself or is about to die. And Terry's like, let me save you. And he's like, trust me, you're the only one who cares. And then he's gone from the show. It's like, oh, what a killer line.
Wow.
Yeah, I love what they did with Mr. Freeze.
I remember that choice having an impact on me. Even though I don't remember it, but wow, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pick the season 3 episode Out of the Past, where Talia al Ghul shows up and goes to Bruce, and like, she stayed young because of the Lazarus Pits. And she's like, look, you've got a new Batman. The League of Shadows is still out there. But what we can do right now is we can put you in the Lazarus Pit and you can regain your youth. And there's this whole thing of Bruce does get a little younger. He gets a little better at fighting. And there's kind of a talk of, well, maybe he can team up with Terry now. And Terry kind of feels that inferiority complex of like, Bruce obviously has way more experience. And if he gets even younger, he's going to be outclassing him in every way.
Okay.
And then a twist comes in where it's not Talia who's alive right now, but it's Ra's al Ghul who made her sacrifice her body to him because the Lazarus Pits weren't working as well on him anymore. So he transferred his mind into her mind, and now he's planning to do it to Bruce. So he wants an actual male body for that. And it's just a killer moment of like, oh, yeah, you were always a villain, but making your daughter sacrifice herself this way, and then you're going to try to take Bruce's body as like the ultimate form of revenge. That's some great villain work right there. And I always love the line of he's got Bruce captured and he's still in Talia's body, Ra's, and he slaps him and Bruce says, and you hit like a girl.
Oh. You would get canceled if you said that today.
Bruce doesn't care.
No, he can, like, I'll buy the network that try to cancel me.
So this is some of our episode taste there. If you got an episode that you really like send one down in the comments below. I'd love to hear it. I mean, there's very few episodes I'd say are kind of bad in this show. But yeah, I'd be interested to see what, like, that one really struck a chord with me or what have you, or this one didn't. But next up, kind of one of the things that is brought up multiple times in the show that are previously brought up in Batman the Animated Series is that Gotham itself is just a place that's corrupt and full of crime. So we see in the future, it's pretty much the same, only the names and locations have changed. So in your opinion, does this mean that Batman is just doomed to fail in his crusade to fight crime? Or is there something more to discuss there?
I think it plays to the theme of, what's the phrase, or like it plays to the theme of to why why Bruce is doing what he does. Is he doing to clear it out, to make Gotham good, or just to, you know, have an effect on the city, which I think he learns that he has, and he needs to maintain that effect, that iconography, to have a lasting impression. But yeah, he just shows that that it's exhaustive work being a vigilante, and that it takes the best out of you, and it when you reach a certain age, is who knows, it might not be worth it. Hopefully you have someone like Terry to come up and to unknow the suit already and unknow how to use the gadget somehow.
Can you rephrase the question? So you're pretty much saying Gotham is known for being rough. So is fighting crime unavoidable for Batman? Is that the question?
So if you look back at Batman, the animated series, mm-hmm. Gotham is corrupt. Police force, parts of it are corrupt. There's always a good cops like, you know, Gordon. And then later on and beyond, we see Barbara Gordon has become police commissioner. Mm-hmm. So there's still good people there, but not everything's perfect. We've got crime syndicates. You've got super villains. So is it worth it? Is Batman just doomed to fail because he did everything he could to stop him, and yet they're still there when he's an old man? Like, what do you think?
I feel like there's always going to be, I mean, the moral compass of choice, you know? So whether it's one of those, if you cut off the head, another one grows type deal. So it's better than what it would have been if he would have done nothing, but there's always going to be evil. Me personally, I just keep to myself, be rich. But, you know, thank God everyone's not like me, right?
Yes. Thank God for that.
Thank goodness. I'll keep my head down, you know, give money, pay my tithes, give some money to some charities, and keep my very law-abiding citizen status.
That's still good work.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you're both bringing up some good points here. And you can't totally destroy crime. You can't totally make people believe in justice and expect that to happen after you've worked to bring other people to that. Yeah, you're going to inspire other people to do that. Like, of course, you know, Barbara was always going to be more like that, but through being Batgirl, but also working with her dad and Bruce, she was still a hero. She's just not, you know, suiting up anymore because she's not able to take that, but she can still be a police commissioner and do that job. Nightwing is apparently somewhere, probably in Bloodhaven, doing something. He just doesn't have a good relationship with Bruce anymore. So there are still people fighting the good fight. There's a Justice League out there fighting the good fight. But I think the issue isn't that human hearts are frail and evil and prone to sin. It's more Bruce was himself to the end. And once again, as mentioned, he's not a cuddly guy. Yeah, he can be soft and affectionate when need be, but he's on mission. And when he's too focused on the mission and not on the people he's supposed to be inspiring and raising up, you're going to end up in a scenario where there's no one to take his place. It'd be like if, you know, Paul went to every, you know, missionary journey that he did, but he just pissed off everyone that he went across, and he never once tried to make amends or get to their level. And he looked at Timothy and said, well, good luck, man. And then moved on. Yeah, instead of coming to him, like, let me inspire you. Let me show you how to do these things correctly so that you can go and do the same. And one of those wasn't really his fault. What happens with Tim, he gets a little jokerized for a bit in the movie, in the flashbacks we have there, and gets screwed up as a result. Once again, mm-hmm. not really his fault, mm-hmm. but he didn't handle it as well as he could. So I think it's more Bruce's fault to an extent that there is not someone doing the same. So this is kind of his redemption, is inspiring someone else to do it, while he has kind of lost his way and learning how to be this father figure, and we learn later on, literal father to Terry in many respects, to not make the sins of the past show up again so that Terry can go and inspire someone else when his time is up. As opposed to, shall we say, a certain sequel series that may have been mentioned earlier, where, you know, you have someone who was the paragon of good, who you were inspired at the very end of Return of, let's say, the Jedi, that he would one day rebuild the Jedi and be a good teacher and mentor to people, including his own nephew. But somehow that didn't happen because of terrible writing. But, you know, I think that, as opposed to something like that, this is Bruce's fault versus character assassination of, let's call that character Luke Skywalker, maybe.
Jake Skywalker.
Yeah.
Not my Luke. No, but yes, this, just revisiting the first two episodes for this was enlightening because this fandom already went through what the Star Wars fans did, and just kind of recently. So it was interesting to see the take on that in the DC.
Yeah. All right. So we mentioned we got Terry Batman, Bruce Batman before this. Like, how do they compare and contrast to one another in their approach to fighting crime?
I mean, you can see Terry as being a teenager. So, I mean, he's more reluctant to train sometimes, like when Bruce is like kind of hard on him with discipline. So he definitely lacks discipline, but I mean, he would rather go out with his girlfriend than train some days, which,
yes,
obviously. Also, remind me, what happened to Terry's parents? Weren't killed, right? They were going through, like, they weren't close.
His dad, I think, stumbled on some information that the powers were going to do, and he got killed as a result so that it wouldn't leak. Okay. So he wants revenge against him for that, but his mom is still alive. So he's with her and his brother.
So, I mean, so they still have like then the backstory of like, you know, kind of revenge, or they have a driving force of why they want to do good, which is nice. And so, I mean, I was just thinking as you were talking about like with the good earlier, I was thinking how we were talking at work. There was a guy who is on trial, you know, potentially is going to have a murder charge. And what he did was he saved a woman on the subway from getting assaulted. And so as he was pinning the guy down, the guy who has a track record, who's been convicted before, ended up passing. And now you have a good vigilante, if you will. And now I didn't keep up with it too closely, but he was facing murder trial, you know? And so it's just kind of one of those things of like, where's the line, or where's the thing? And of course, it being cartoons in the 90s, there was an explicit killing, but now you kind of have other DC shows, like I think Arrow, like there's like, you know, it's like getting more violent, more like killing. And so you kind of normalize it. So I appreciate, even though this was, I mean, if they would do it today, I'm sure it would be different since the culture is different, but I appreciate that they still refrained from killing or being like too violent, if that makes sense. So I like that they kept that the same between the two generation, because if they would made like Batman, like grandkid, you know, if Terry has his grandkid, it would feel so normal if we saw them and he was sniping people out.
Yeah. 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 Good points. Very good points. Okay, I think one of the main differences here is, like has been brought up before, Terry has parents. Terry is rough, but he's not as studious as Bruce was. He's not as motivated as Bruce was. Bruce made this his entire life. Terry, this is part of his life, but he's working. The entire show is part of him learning how to balance, if that's even possible, you know, being a superhero, protecting Gotham, while also, you know, I do have a test in the morning and I do need to hang out with my girlfriend and show her time. I need to hang out with my family. And Bruce doesn't get it for the most part because, yeah, he did along the way kind of form his family, the Bat family, but his parents were dead. He didn't have siblings. He had Alfred, but that wasn't good enough for him. He had the mission, and that was, I'm going to stop the corruption in the city. So that is, he lives and breathes that, to the point where many times it's been argued Bruce Wayne is the mask and Batman is who he actually is. Your mileage may vary on that interpretation. I flip-flop on it. I see the wisdom behind parts of it, but that's not Terry. And another way that they're different is Terry actually talks to his villains. Like, say, not say Batman never talks, but Terry will just talk smack. And while he's beating him up, Bruce would be silent and mess with him through subterfuge and stuff like that. Terry's like, he could do that, but he's also going to punch you in the face and, you know, make a joke about you and say, He's in a very Spider-Man fashion. And that was another reason why I really liked him, because that's exactly what Spider-Man would do. So there's a contrast there, to the point when we do get to the movie, Return of the Joker, Terry realizes, oh, you have such an obsession with the old man because he never talked back to you. You always wanted his attention. So let me give you my attention and then screw you over because it's going to mess you up, which is something Bruce would never do in the same way. Yeah, he might give a one-liner or something to maybe throw the Joker off, but not in the way the rapid fire kind of comedy that, you know, Terry would, to the point where, yeah, the Joker kind of has a breakdown. It's like, you're not Batman, because he's angry that Terry is Batman.
No, yeah. From what I saw in those two episodes, I got a sense of what I remember of that balance, of that tension, that Bruce didn't have to, and that affected him. And I can remember the grumpiness of Bruce and stuff like that. So, yeah.
I mean, that's who I'm going to end up becoming as an old man. I'm halfway there myself. I get it.
To get off my porch.
Just curmudgeon. Yep. Just do things my way. Quit talking back.
Man, sometimes I do that with my kids. And I remember thinking to myself, I would never say that to my kid. But sometimes it's just so easy to just be like, yo, just do what I told you. That's it.
Yeah.
But that's just a cheat.
It's part of the balancing there. It's like, yeah, as a parent, and Bruce really does become a parent, and like we do learn in Justice League, is a parent to Terry. You can't expect him, just because I tell you to do something doesn't mean it's going to click in his mind. You have to explain why you want things done a certain way. You have to say, hey, I don't want you doing this because I did it this way and it blew up in my face. Or I want you to do this because it blew up in someone else's face and I saw that and I don't want you to do that. So that's part of his process over time, is learning to be a little softer. He's still not, you know, cuddly grandpa by the end of the show, but he is more affectionate to Terry as a result. And that affects Terry's ability to become a little more like Bruce in certain regards. Say, oh, this is why he wants me to do that. So now he does apply it to his crime fighting while still being himself. Right. So, as mentioned earlier, this was originally pitched as Batman in high school.
Which I could see that.
Which it could have been done. I don't think it would have been done well.
It wouldn't have lasted so long.
Done this way, yeah, I think it's done really well, because we have a wholly new character who is inspired by the original Batman to be his own man while still wrestling with tests and girlfriends and responsibilities and family. So what stories are told here that only could have happened because Terry was a high school student and Bruce could never have had happen to him?
I'm just trying to look up who played the voice.
So with Terry, I forgot that Terry went to Justice League, but when we watched the Justice League, is it Terry as the character of Batman, or is that just kind of like, how does that fall
in
line?
When he shows up in Justice League?
Yeah. Is that the Justice League I watched back in the day, like with the Flash and like Superman and stuff?
They go to the future and they see Terry as Batman there. Also, there's a Justice League episode where I've hinted at, it's him kind of uncovering Amanda Waller and how she's kind of messed with his life and tried to recreate what happened to Bruce with his family and actually kind of supplanted his dad's DNA to be replaced with Bruce's. So, yeah.
Nice.
Interesting.
But we have episodes. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's just they went with a 90s classic voice actor. He's from A Boy Meets World.
Will Friedle?
Friedle, yeah.
Which character was in Boy Meets World?
He was the cool friend with the cool hair.
John.
Yeah.
That was his character.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep. Nice. That matches. That makes sense. Love that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of one where there's like this rumor at school that a ghost is around and that it's who's fallen in love with one of the girls. And it turns out it's an earlier character that we met, if I'm remembering my timelines right, who is gained psychokinetic powers and is using that to infiltrate the school and try to like make her fall in love with him. Never once would, maybe as like a side story, Batman would stumble upon something like that, Bruce would, but never like being like friends with the people who were undergoing this. That's something only Terry could have done. Or the one where one of his friends that I don't think appears before or after this starts dating a robot. And there's all the high school shenanigans that come with that. That, yeah, maybe Bruce has a friend, a rich friend or whatever, who starts dating a robot, but it wouldn't be done in the same way. Like, you could only tell it if you have a Batman in high school who is separate from Bruce.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, I wanted to speak to the fact on how tight the storytelling is. I forgot how those shows back then, they only had like 20 minutes to do it, but it's so compact and great storytelling.
Oh yeah. And fancy that they did it over, you know, 15, 20 some episodes a season versus 6 to 8.
Thank you.
Right. Where maybe you get 10 this today.
Right.
And that's great, but with a cliffhanger. I need more. Yeah. Like, can you develop these characters? You can call some of these episodes filler all you want. What they were doing was building the world.
They were fleshing it out.
They were building Gary's supporting cast, new villains, all this stuff that we just don't get today. Mm-hmm. And I know production costs have gone up. I know animation costs have gone up. But some of these companies, Disney, can't afford to do that.
Hey, friends, your pal Will Rose here. Sometimes I ask myself, self, have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Yes. Yes, I have. And well, if you're like me, you want Systematic Ecology to continue to grow and thrive. And you can do that by joining Patreon for as little as $3 a month. As a patron, you get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions that our patrons get to hear. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that the patrons pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch. And when I say that we're a worldwide podcast, that I'm not being hyperbolic. Somebody told me that we have over 20,000 subscribers from all over the world, and just half of those subscribers join Patreon for $3 a month. We would be set on keeping moving forward with the tech that we need to have the quality of podcast that we want our hearers to experience. And it'll help us get to certain events and conventions so that we can see you face to face and geek out with you in person. And let me just share that there's no shame, no guilt. If you can't join Patreon at this point, that's okay. That's okay. Just keep listening, keep sharing, keep liking, because yes, we're proud of what we're doing at Systematic Ecology. And friends, guess what? You can subscribe to Patreon for free to receive one extra bonus episode a month via the Patreon or Spotify app. That is fantastic. And we're glad that you're a part of it.
So it gets really frustrating when you have a cool idea. I loved your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. It needed about 10 more episodes to set up the world of Peter Parker.
It felt like a commercial or a YouTube short or something like that. There's nothing wrong with it, but I was just like, this is not what I'm used to. Yeah.
I loved X-Men 97. That was 10-ish episodes.
That's right. And I forgot about that.
We didn't get a lot.
And we left with
we could have gotten so much more.
Kind of a weird cliffhanger, which could have been the mid-season, and then we could have had 3 more episodes maybe, and then perfect. You know, 12, 15 episodes.
And I'm not opposed. Yeah. I'm opposed to ending on a cliffhanger. It's if, you know, you've given me enough to when we get there, I'm like, I still want more, but you've satisfied me enough to where I can wait a year and not 2 to 3 years.
Don't get me started on that.
On certain projects. It makes me really upset. And yes, yeah, once again, I know things cost a little more, but you're Disney or you're Warner Brothers. You can afford this. I can't.
Yeah. Give it to us.
But yeah. It's not like legacy characters had never existed before this point. You know, we do have Wally West taking over the role of Barry Allen when he dies in Crisis on Infinite Earths. We have in comics, you know, Spider-Man 2099, way further in the future from Peter Parker being his own kind of man.
I was not familiar with that. So, that's cool.
So there's plenty more, but like now I think some people would argue that we're oversaturated with legacy characters, especially in the comics, but more times you'll see them in Western animation and in the movies. So like are legacy characters something natural like what Terry is here, or are they always just kind of forced in your opinion?
In this case,
I never paid attention.
I think in this case, it was pretty natural. So,
yeah. Yeah, I would say I completely agree with that sentiment because it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Bruce is going to age.
Yeah.
It'd be different, you know, if this was like they tried doing this and Bruce is the same age because comic book time never ends and he's 30 and you've got Terry at like 15 and he wants another Batman. You've got, you know, what was done well, Miles Morales, when he shows up in the comics, is after the death of Ultimate Peter Parker. And he was bitten by the same spider that he was, but he just didn't have the same chutzpah, the same responsibility that Peter did. So he decided not to go in until he saw Peter die. And it's like, I wasted all this. What if I had actually been there with him? Could I have saved him? And that motivates him to become Spider-Man. So that makes perfect sense, as opposed to certain other characters. You know, the Ironheart show is about to come out. I hope it succeeds. I have never once cared for her as a character. Her comics are bad. She has been written very poorly. So I hope they can salvage that. I just think they do a terrible job with her. You know, the other Nova that came out, was a Sam Alexander, was a nothing compared to Richard Rider. But then you have stuff like in Batman Comics, you have Dick Grayson taking the mantle for a little bit, and you have Damian Wayne becoming his Robin for that time. Or you have Commissioner Gordon for a time becoming Batman. You have Azrael. Like, they work effectively. It's not the idea that legacy characters are bad. It's how you present them. And I think Terry is presented especially well because the world needs a Batman right now, because Batman can't do the job. So you have someone step up to the plate who is rough around the edges, needs someone who was Batman to teach him how to be Batman.
And don't kill off Batman.
And I'm perfectly fine with that. Right. And yes, just don't do that needlessly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So something else we've kind of mentioned before is that it is made very apparent throughout the show and the movie and, you know, Justice League Unlimited and so on and so forth, that Bruce has burnt bridges with most of his friends.
Oh, yeah.
So like, how does the show handle this? And how do you think that Terry kind of learns from his mentor's decisions?
I mean, he's hot-headed kind of. So I would assume that, he doesn't really pay that much attention until it's too late.
Also, I feel like he's seen like a lonely life that, you know, Bruce has kind of lived, and he kind of knows a little bit like it's not good to push everyone away.
Yes.
So I think that that's probably the best thing he learned. Like he needs to keep, even though it's a hindrance and it's hard juggling both, he still needs to keep his friends and his loved ones and stuff like that. Or literally he'll be looking at a future where he's the old guy with no one else. And he's still behind the screen.
Yes. Yeah. Well said. It's what Terry sees is a man who's by himself. Yeah. You know, like when he does meet Barbara Gordon, they're cordial enough to talk to one another, but there's clearly some burnt bridges there. Like we never see Nightwing in the show. I think in the comics he shows up at some point in time, but never once throughout those three seasons does he attempt to contact, you know, Bruce or even talk to Terry. You know, Tim Drake, what happens to him? Like he got jokerized for a bit. That was a huge bit of mental trauma and he stopped superheroing as a kid. So it just blows up. And we get eventually in the third season, Superman eventually shows up not to see Bruce, but to see Terry, to have him join the Justice League. And there are other reasons beyond that for why he wants Terry, you know, as an outsider, as someone who could actually solve the plot around the Starro taking control of Superman. So the part of that was Superman didn't want Bruce involved because he was afraid if he got the Starro on him, the world would be gone. Wow. But it's also kind of, you're not friends anymore. We were friends for years, but you don't reach out to me. I don't reach out to you. Terry sees that and goes, that ain't me. Like, he's going to fight for his friends. He's going to fight to keep them. He's going to fight for his girlfriend and eventually fiance. That's one of the things that he learns in that Justice League episode that flashes forward to this timeline. It's like, I don't want to end up like Bruce. I want to have a family, you know, with all the responsibilities and the, you know, the bad things that come with that. Like a supervillain could find her one day and we could get a, you know, cut up in the fridge moment or stuffed in the fridge moment. But he takes all that and says, no, I don't want to be that man. All right. So we are going to be doing a bonus question for this one. And this bonus question is going to be, you know, since we have kind of Batman villains who did show up in the show multiple times, not all of them showed up, or there wasn't a legacy character inspired by them. The question we're going to ask is, which Batman villain would we have liked to see either return or to have a legacy villain be inspired by them? So before we go any further, you guys, anything else you want to add before we go to the rating and reviewing? Okay. So out of 10, Batman Beyond, what are you thinking?
I give it a solid 8 because I remember it so well. But not like, you know, obviously characters and stuff, but like I remember enjoying it.
Okay. An 8.
Evan, what about you? I'll do 7 batarangs.
Oh, 7.
Yep.
7 batarangs out of 10. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Screw it. This is a 10 out of 10 for me.
Ooh.
This is
a
perfect continuation of the DCAU. Yeah. Is it flawless in everything it does? No, but am I enjoying every moment of it? Do I want to see more? Do I enjoy the characterization that happens here? Absolutely. Yeah, this isn't, you know, Bruce is washed up and there's no hope of redemption. This isn't, you know, the entire Jedi Academy got destroyed because I'm an idiot. Like, no, there's reasons that things happen here. There's a reason he failed, but there's still hope for better. And that is embodied with Terry. And I have full confidence he's not going to make the same decisions and mistakes that Bruce did. So 10 out of 10. Love the show. All right. You guys have any recommendations for the audience?
Go watch my campfire thing I said about. It's literally so hopefully they get a season 2. But pretty much 4 people get transported into the world. And like 3 people are really great heroes. And they got cool blessing. This dude's blessing, the salaryman, is online shopping.
Nice.
And it's so funny. And he like gets a familiar, which is like this pretty much godlike beast, and all he's pretty much a glutton. So everyone is fearing this guy, and it's hilarious. And he be cooking it up, so you know I'm loving it. Go watch it. I think it's 12 episodes. You can do it in a day. It's fine. What is work?
There you go. All right, Evan. How about you?
Zeta Project. I say, go down that rabbit hole, because I remember watching that movie or that show, and completely forgetting that it was. That it came from Batman Beyond. So I think it's a fun little companion piece.
Okay. Solid choice. Solid choices. Yeah. I'm going to say my recommendation, The Stand by Stephen King. I saw it as I was moving all my stuff around.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me. Sorry there. My favorite Stephen King book. I love it. You guys can't go wrong if you want to read that. So that's it for all of that. Guys, thank you for hanging out with me today, discussing this. This was a really fun episode to do. Glad we decided on doing this one. Guys, if you get a chance, if you're listening to this podcast form, leave a 5-star review on your podcasting platform of choice to help us with the ratings there to find more people. If you're on YouTube, leave us a like, subscribe down below. Of course, leave a comment. If there's something we said, you say, we didn't quite get that right, or I think about this, and yeah, we can respond to that. We always love talking to you guys and getting more about what you want from the show. So thank you for that. You can also send us future episode topic ideas. It's like, hey, have you guys considered doing this? Answer might be no, because we didn't think about it until you bring it up to us. As well, you can send us questions or concerns or anything you want to just send our way at systematicecology@gmail.com. I'd like to shout out some supporters right now. Thank you, Ethan Overcash, Austin Nance, Amber Riley, and Jonathan Augustine. You guys are the best. But remember, we are all the chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Hey, Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
Hello, Systematic Geekology listeners. This is Kevin here. Just want to give a brief ad for some of the other podcasts in our Anazal podcast network. First of all, off is Let Nothing Move You by Christian Ashley, in which Christian goes through the Bible one chapter at a time and gives his thoughts there. There is also the Bible After Hours, which is a more progressive take on the Bible that tries to challenge the status quo with satire and looks at theology. The host uses the pseudonym, the Foulmouth Preacher. And as a bonus, Joshua Knoll does the voices for this one. So definitely check that one out. And also, And We'll Laugh About That Later is the newest podcast that our own Will Rose is starting, where he will interview friends about a story they had that wasn't funny at the time, but that they laugh about now. So definitely check out these shows and subscribe to us wherever you get your pods. Thank you very much.